In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning to all of you. I thought I would tell you to start out the sermon today about a good friend of mine named Tish. And Tish was a parishioner at St. John's in Jackson Hole, where I moved here from. And we had just a beautiful moment in ministry together, which I thought started us out well for some of the subject matter that's presented in our text in Romans today. After weeks and weeks of being a newcomer, her and her husband to the church that would sit quietly in the back of a very small 8 o'clock service, we got to know each other well enough that she said, "Can I come to your office because something has been burdening me and I need to pray and seek counsel about it?" So I said, "Sure." And we met that following week, and she, after exchanging a few pleasantries, told me, "I've found a home in this church, and I believe God is answering a decade of pain that my husband and I have been wrestling with." And she told me, as she heard me in a sermon say at one point how my wife and I had, before we were blessed with our two young children, at one point we didn't think we could have any, and we were blessed by them. And she was heard that in a sermon, and she said, "We've reached the point after a decade of trying that we are not able to have our own children. We've prayed, spent thousands of dollars, and they just had come to the with the doctor saying, it's probably not in your future that you will have kids." And how that landed upon both of them. And she said, "But God's in my life, and I know how to handle this, and I think he's stirring me to something I never thought I would have the courage to do." She said, "I think I want to donate one of my kidneys for someone that I might not ever meet, but just so that I may be able to bless someone else within this anguish and this pain of not being I think it's a way of healing for me that God is stirring me to." And so we prayed about that. And she said within days after us meeting, as we followed up together, that she had set a date. And she went ahead and do that and donated one of her kidneys through surgery. And the surgery went fine. And it just happened to be about a year ago, about the time I was leaving, she got back in contact with me and said, "Oh, I got to tell you what happened. The hospital asked if I could come in for a conversation, and they introduced me to the 5-year-old little girl that received my kidney." And as I hear that story, I'm just thinking, what anguish, a decade of, will I be able to have my own kids? God comforting her and meeting her in that anguish, and then that happening. And it just really, it sets the heart for where we see Paul writing and coming from a similar place of anguish. And as we get into the text today, I thought that was a good story to set that up. A little bit of context before we jump into just where we've been and where we're going in our Romans series this summer. So we've got verse 9 in Romans today, and we see a dramatic shift from where we have been in the previous 8 chapters of the letter to the Romans. Chapter 9, 10, and 11 introduce a new body within the letter to the Romans. In more context, Paul begins to consider the promises made to the Jewish people, and in light of the gospel message, where the Jewish people fit within the scope of redemptive history. Chapter 9 in its entirety is dealing with the history and the birthright of the Jewish people. But the key to understanding the entirety of chapter 9 is to understand that God is sovereign over all. How God is over all things, creator and sustainer, the begotten, not made, as we say in the creed. But in getting to this point, Paul has really been hitting home that he believes and is living his life for the message that Christians are saved by grace through faith. And in the specific 8 verses that we have today in chapter 9, my goodness, Paul reveals his heart for the Jewish people. He, at this point, in the first 8 chapters, he has presented some big theological concepts that people have been arguing and fighting over, and they were brilliant, that he was presenting them up until this point in that letter. And now, in the first 8 verses, we see those promises and things he presents backed up by the heart of a minister, the heart of a missionary. He loves the Jewish people so much, and he carries an anguish for them within his heart that he is willing to make any sacrifice that they may know Christ crucified for their sins. And not only is this at a level of the entire Jewish people group, but think about where Paul has come from. He's talking about his heritage, how he was born and raised, his closest friends and family. And he wants them all to know relationship with Jesus, to know the gospel, and to know that, yes, Jesus is indeed the promised, the prophesied Messiah that we have all been hearing about. Paul is both deeply anguished by Israel's unbelief and thoroughly convinced as well of Israel's blessings. And there is a deep longing that we see, especially in verses 2 and verses 3 that Paul is writing with. It's welling up inside of his heart as he is remembering his Jewish roots, a painful urgency towards those that are without Christ, those that are still separated from God in their rebellion. And I personally am really taken back by his writings here in Romans. When I think before he was Paul and he was Saul, how at one point he hated and was persecuting followers of Christ. But then after he realized who Jesus was, really God the Messiah, it changed Paul's life forever. And he would live every last moment of his breath making that identity known to all of those around him. And then Paul would be accused of turning his back on the Jewish faith tradition and his heritage, a traitor. He was labeled a traitor to his heritage. He had embraced a new standard, a new covenant, and because of it, he was accused of betrayal. Paul is too familiar with phrases such as, "Oh, Paul, will you just please shut up about this whole gospel thing?" And yet that doesn't stop him. To this point, he has been beaten and imprisoned for the message that he would live for and spread. Wherever he goes, he either seems to cause a riot or revival. And he has a great anguish that the reality that people that are not in Jesus are lost. They are separated. And this is his motivation to share the gospel message, to share Jesus with those that he loves and cares about on very, very personal levels. And what's startling to me is not just that he has that basic level of caring. He ups the ante and says, "I will give up my seat on the bus to heaven. I would take your place if the Jewish people would only know the beauty and the depth of the love and message of Christ and the gospel. I'll give up my seat on the bus and go to hell, so that you might have a taste of relationship from Christ." So not just I would die for you, a deeper level of, "I would give up my eternal salvation just so you would understand the reality of relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I will be forever cut off from Christ so you could have a taste of this. Now I ask you to consider, what is informing his sorrow and grief, and what brings him to such a level of love for those around him that he would come to that kind of thought of giving up his eternal salvation for him? And if I'm honest within myself, as I was preparing for the sermon this week, you know, to be in ministry, you have to have a little bit of love for people, for all of humankind. If I didn't, you know, that wouldn't be a good thing. But when I see Paul and this level of love that he has for people, I only pray that I could that I could ever have that type of a deep yearning that he does. And it's motivation for me, that the knowledge and information that the reality of who Christ is and what his death, life, and resurrection meant, not just for him, but for all of us, it brings a great sorrow for those that I know that don't know Christ in the here and now. And then I'm also encouraged by the great promises that come through the gospel. So how are we to really take this in? How are we to comprehend what Paul is really wanting us to understand this morning? How do we bring this lesson of anguish and love out of the past and apply it to our lives today? Do you find yourself in a similar position of anguish when you think about someone in your close-knit group of people, that family, friends, someone you have close relationship with, that maybe you have shared Christ with them and maybe it caused tension in your relationship, or maybe they've just been on your heart for a long time and you're like, I'm just waiting for the courage in the moment to share this reality of Christ with them. What motivates us in those moments with those people? And we see that answer from Paul to get today. His motivation, the gospel of grace. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all humanity. This is the kind of love that sent out all the missionaries that have gone before us and continue to go out today to spread the gospel message. Just as our youth missionaries have returned from the mission field on Friday, I can't wait to hear their stories and how that lives into the legacy of what Paul was doing and the anguish for the lost that he shared. They went and served in that same capacity. This is the kind of love where ridicule, suffering, and sorrow doesn't get in the way of telling those closest to us about the truth found in Christ. This is the type of love that overcomes fear, the type of love that overcomes death, and the kind of love that pulled God off of the throne of heaven to come into the mission field on earth and to endure the cross so that all of us may know him as Lord and Savior, and then through that be witnesses to that message. This is supposed to be encouragement for all of us. It's not supposed to start within you a sense of, oh, I hope I'm right with God. It's supposed to show you the very heart that Paul had for the lost, and the source of that heart being Christ himself, and how we have access to that as well. Look at all we celebrate today. We bring the white back out to celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration. And as we come to communion, we get a foretaste of the anguish and the promises that come to us through Christ, the same heart for the lost that Paul is talking about today. And we even celebrate with Ryan and Aiden, welcoming into the family today in baptism. Some of the anguish is taken away because of the great celebration of two of our young ones being welcomed into the faith family. Welcome, guys. Very momentarily, we celebrate you. But what motivates us as we walk this duality of anguish and yet celebrate in the reality of Christ for all of us? Do you remember the last 2 weeks as Joe preached the great three promises that come out of the 8th chapter of Romans, which leads us into this 9th chapter of the letter of Romans? Number one, now there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. Number two, we are more than conquerors. And number three, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Those three promises in themselves, what great motivation for us as we consider the world outside of these doors that is, even if they don't know it, crying for the type of love we find within our faith family here through our identity in Christ. Paul knows the reality of the mission coming off of these great promises. They're the fuel he uses and is getting everybody ready for that energizes us. The mission is great outside of those doors. It's the duality of that anguish and the assurance we have in Christ, that tension that we walk in, and yet that's what we are all here doing this morning. It's saying, God, please use our weakness to spread your, to use your strength, to spread your gospel. We have tasted it, and we know those closest to us, there is a broken world out there that needs you. That is our motivation this morning, and what Paul reminds us with his heart for the lost. If I had to give you three things to consider, to wade through as you're coming to celebrate and remember and give thanks this morning, and then as we have the dismissal to go back out into the world, pondering on this, number one, continue to love. If you remember the old hymn, I think it sums it up so well. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. If you find yourself in moments of anguish and despair, hurting for others that they would know Christ, remember, love conquers all through Christ. Number two, pray for them. Pray for those that don't know him. Pray, pray, pray. Bathe that the gospel would take root in their heart, whether it takes an instantaneous or the rest of their lives. Continually be in prayer. And number three, finally, look for those opportunities to share Christ with them, to share the gospel with them. Those opportunities will present themselves, and be looking for them. And if you feel your inadequacies or your insecurities rising up in those moments, remember Paul and what motivates him. And we also have that same thing motivating us as our root and identity. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather today, we thank you for meeting us here in this holy place. And I thank you for the motivation and looking at Paul's heart for the lost. Let us rejoice in our own salvation and be in awe of how that continues to work and to play out. And let everything we hear and practice this morning, let us have the same for the heart for the lost that Paul carries and presents with us today. Amen.